Well, here we are, standing. Oh, I'm here with Katie Presley. I'm here with Stephen Thompson.
Welcome, friends.
Yes, Bob Boylan here. We don't have Robin Hilton. He comes tomorrow. We are in South by Southwest. It is not so terribly late at night. It's
No, it'll
we're
get
spring chickens.
I know. I don't think it's even midnight yet. And usually this kind of gets later and later and later.
This
nightly dispatches become later and later as we descend further and further into madness. So right now you're getting lucid. You're getting the lucid gang.
Right. And what we're going to do in these wrap-ups, you arrived Monday and you...
I arrived just 4 years ago.
She's been waiting in the courtyard.
Yep.
This is her moment.
Finally.
So I'll talk about what I saw yesterday, because you guys didn't see any music yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't see
anything. I got in late. Mm-hmm.
But Mother Falcon is a group
here in
Austin we madly love.
Oh, yes.
Love them.
And Mother Falcon curated a space called the Empire Control Room and Garage. Mm-hmm. Three stages all day. Mother Falcon, were brilliant. Big orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fun.
Did they curate a bunch of stages and just have various configurations of their band play?
Well, they popped up on many of the stages.
Nice. Perfect.
Including a group from Canada called And the Kids, a great, wonderful pop band that I saw at CMJ and I loved. But Mother Falcon played new material, and that was brilliant. Right. But the end of the night of their curation was a group called the Golden Dawn Orchestra.
Yes.
ARK, like Sunrise. There's some weird pollen here. It's going to kill me.
Wow.
Anyway, the Golden Dawn Orchestra.
Like
Sun Ra Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And they were another monster. I couldn't count that many people.
Wow.
And they were a mix of Sun Ra, crazy, crazy jazz, and Sly Stone.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So it was dance music to the nth degree, costumes galore, absolutely beautiful. It was the best thing I saw until I saw Kate Tempest.
Yes,
but
we will definitely talk about
Kate Tempest. What a great night that was for me.
And that was all one? That was all at the Mother Falcon party
That was
last
all the
night?
Mother Falcon party. I saw Spoon, too, because, you're going to see, you're in Austin, go see Spoon.
You know, it's funny. Katie and I were talking today about the perfect Bob Boylan band. You know, I talk a lot about the contents of Bob's brain, and I describe it as demented calliope music. And Katie said... Oh, well, we have to go see
Calliope musicals.
You guys didn't call me.
I did. I said 2:30. What did I say? Psychedelic folk pop.
With confetti cannon.
Cannon.
Yeah. There were children in animal costumes dancing.
All named Bob.
I mean, it was so many things. It needed more... it needed a little bit of actual demented calliope music, but what it really needed was an orchestra. That's the only thing that it needed to be the perfect Bob Boylan band.
Yeah.
But they were really fun.
They're great. They're a local band I've been following for a couple of years now, and they've had a great transformation. They started as an Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros influenced kind of boy-girl talk singing acoustic thing, and they've grown into this psychedelic. They added a xylophonist.
they handed out signs that say enjoy,
which is from Shiner, which is a Shiner. They cut up Shiner beer boxes.
Right.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they were wonderful. I've loved watching them become what they are, which is Bob's brain manifest.
I hope they're playing again. Would you?
They are
let
playing
me know
many times.
I need a confetti cannon.
You absolutely.
In your I think
life.
I was in the room the confetti cannon happened.
Yes,
at.
You were.
Wait, okay, because
saw the remnants.
I saw the remnants of it. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, best thing you saw, Katie?
I loved the Barberettes, which feels selfish because it was my Secret Santa pick for someone else.
And I want to say thank you for that Secret Santa gift.
You're welcome. You were most welcome. When we all sat down together, I said, well, I win. And then I realized it's only Tuesday at 5 p.m.
And these are three girls from Korea singing spot on takes on the Andrews Sisters and then later period into the
60s.
Late 50s. Three great harmony singers. Full of bountiful joy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were really wonderful.
And this was their first performance in the United States.
Yep.
Right?
They arrived yesterday. This is the first
so
time
we
they
saw,
played.
We saw their U.S. debut. They were very, very charming.
They
it
really
was another.
Were.
It was another Bob's brain
so
experience.
Thank you, that was a perfect gift.
You mentioned Bob seeing Kate Tempest.
Yes.
And you know, she's a UK poet.
Yeah, she's a spoken word artist and rapper.
But she, yeah, and she's an award-winning poet. She won like the Ted Hughes Prize or the Ted Hughes Award as a poet.
She did.
And so there's a cross between performances where she's rapping and performances where she's just doing spoken word pieces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that show was packed. At, like, line out, one in, one out. I mean, I never, Katie and I, neither of us ever actually got in.
No, oh, I was right up front.
Yeah,
of course, because you're Bob Boyle.
No, I waited online an hour to get to that place.
Yeah.
And this was her only performance at South By, as near as I can tell. And she was amazing just standing out on the sidewalk outside the venue.
They were
looking
smart
through
in that they opened the windows so that we could stand and still have a fairly perfect view, really.
And part of what I loved about her was she was so incredibly happy to be there.
She was
performing songs that had some real intensity behind them, but it was also like you could just tell she was thrilled.
Yeah.
And that is part of why we come to South by Southwest, is for the massive amounts of enthusiasm that are in the air. And when bands capture that and put that back into the crowd, instead of just having to battle the noise of these industry crowds that are chattering, but like a band that's just so psyched to be there. That's
right.
A great thing to see on opening.
And encouraging people to be present in the moment. And
she did say that. She said, "Be in this room with me. I am so happy to be here. Put your phone away. Be in this room."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well,
I'm
geez,
gonna tweet
Kate,
that
I'm
right
trying."
Yeah, I'm trying to be in this room.
Yeah.
But her message in her rapping was the one that got me, was more empathy, less greed, love,
mm-hmm.
love.
And as much as I disagree with that, I was still really taken with it.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful moment. Amazing music, electronic sounds, great harmony, a singer behind her.
She had a really good singer with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although harmony, maybe not quite the word, but sort of a nice
backing and forth.
Yeah.
I got to see Kristen Diable, whom I wrote about for NPR and have loved forever. She's from New Orleans. She rarely tours, but she's in town. She was great, although the crowd was super loud.
Terrible
and
industry crowd.
Yeah. She tried to quiet them by performing a powerhouse a cappella thing, and she sounded phenomenal, and the six of us that were listening got the show of our lives.
I was, Tom Brousseau is here, and Tom...
Right over
Tom,
there.
Come on over here a minute.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of Tom Brousseau. I don't know.
So,
did you see him? Is he any good?
Tom Brousseau. We're going to do this thing called South by Lullaby and we have Tom Brousseau invite an artist each night at the end of these South by wrap-ups.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an artist, and Tom is one, to sing us sort of a lullaby. But you were talking about the problems of being a singer and a songwriter in a crowded, rude room. I told Tom, Stephen, about seeing Laura Gibson and how it launched our Tiny Desk series by having not been able to hear Laura Gibson in 2008 and inviting her to come and play my desk, as you did, which launched the series. But you have the challenge tonight, which was you played in a room, and what did the sound guy say to you?
He came up to me and he was very apologetic at the end of it. He said, "I'm so sorry. I know that you had to compete with a lot out there. There were several other stages around, you know, it was all kind of spilling into the room, people coming in and out. But from my perspective, it was just the opposite. We were, myself and the audience seemed to be all in the same boat. We were kind of in this liquid atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. But it's usually the case, you know, where I'll be playing a club like that. And I'm just a singer-songwriter and a guitar.
Quiet.
Very quiet.
Yes.
You're kind of fragile in the
world,
too, you know?
Emotionally.
Quiet, you'll break the artist is the sign you need.
Right, exactly. I get that tattooed.
But you're sometimes competing literally with, like, metal bands playing nearby.
Oh, you are. In festivals like this, and especially South by. But that's kind of the great thing about it.
That it is kind of a delicious bit of...
It is.
But it's also your attitude that you look at it that way, too.
I suppose, right? I could have a poor attitude.
Yeah, right.
I could be complaining, but I don't want to be that guy up on stage, you know, in front of all those people who can't really hear you anyway, saying, "Can I have more guitar on the monitor?
Right.
A little less vocal?"
Yeah, do you find, I mean, you've played South by a few times,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, you've obviously, I'm sure, had a broad array of experiences here.
Yeah.
Like, how much do you try to sound check? How much do you battle it? And how much do you just power through and hope it's turning out okay?
Oh, I think a little of all of what you just said. I think a sound check is necessary just to make sure that your guitar isn't feeding back at all, because that can be a big problem. But you just kind of roll with it. And tonight was where I played Cheer Up Charlie's, local tavern here.
Ah, my favorite.
Where the confetti cannon remnants were.
My favorite venue.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they saw a confetti cannon.
Something very special.
You wouldn't have a confetti cannon.
No, I left it at home. I left that in the fog machine at home.
You have to reload it every time.
It's a lot of work.
But there was a gentleman who came up, Matt was his name, and he played percussion. And we entered in this kind of a neat little phase together, the audience and myself and Matt, and we slowed it down a little bit, and we went so to the lullaby level. We played the Blue Moon of all songs.
Oh my goodness.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was just something magical about it when you're you just kind of give up the power, you know, and you just sort of go where it goes. And that nobody can really take credit for. It's a part of the experience, I think, of playing at a festival and playing in a room like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can't repeat it either, you know? It's different each and every time.
That's great. Anything else that you guys want to bring to the table here?
I feel like that was a really beautiful thing that I shouldn't follow with this, but I do feel like I should point out that I saw the most not safe for work pairing of band names in my entire life. So apologies, Tom. That was really lovely. I saw Handjob Academy today, followed immediately by Lowest Pair.
I see.
Lowest Pair is a bluegrass band, and they are fabulous.
This is about fruit, yes?
Sure.
Yes.
P-A-I-R,
absolutely.
But it could be two pairs.
It could be a couple of pairs. Handjob Academy is sort of nerdy, queer rap. They're hilarious.
Part of a kind of nerdcore lineup.
Nerdcore, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying nerds rule often.
the hand stamps said, I love nerds. Yeah,
yeah.
I ran from Handjob Academy over to see Meishi Smile.
Oh, I missed that.
And these very
LA electronic.
Yeah, he's based in LA, and it's these very ecstatic, like Japanese influenced, like kind of J-pop influenced, kind of rave ups. And I found myself like if I stood too far away, I didn't feel it enough, and if I stood too close, it made my nose hairs vibrate.
It's a good idea to shave that before you come to
South by.
This is just a tip for anybody out there who hasn't shown up yet.
Bring clippers.
There's a little attachment. but I really, really like his record. And, you know, so going into a very enthusiastic crowd, that was another great experience.
I saw what you managed not to see. You waited 45, 50 minutes to see Lola Wolf. And you left, and I stayed and saw like 8 minutes of her, and it was quite brilliant. And
great.
She's playing a bunch, so.
She is, I forgave myself for giving up.
Good electronica and rhythm and blues in its own 21st century way.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awfully similar to how I described it on All Songs Considered.
Is that true?
Yes.
There you go.
I believe I said it. It's a 90s throwback, deconstructed 90s R&B rebuilt with millennial tools.
Somebody
mic drop.
Notes.
You're holding it. Can you drop it for me?
well, we have a lot in store tomorrow, including our showcase, which is the highlight of the things that people are talking about. I keep hearing Courtney Barnett's name.
Everybody.
And which reminded me when I saw Kate Tempest, just the first quick second, which is that words may be the thing of this festival. Because both of those things, though, I mean, you know, lyrics, as opposed
this year,
to...
This year, words.
As opposed to, you know, some years it's just about more beat than anything.
Sure, absolutely.
But both Courtney Barnett and Kate Tempest have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And
Little
I'm so happy about that. And you want to go through the rest of our lineup?
Yeah, our lineup is TV on the Radio, Stromae. Well, there are these big Who the Hell is Stromae posters all over the place.
And tomorrow you'll find out.
Mm-hmm. You will find out who Stromae is.
What the rest of the world knows.
What everybody except the United States knows. Courtney Barnett, as you mentioned. Shamir and the rapper Boogie.
Right.
And so it's going to be a great lineup. I think there's going to be incredible energy too.
And we record the whole thing. Video the whole thing. We'll put much of that online beginning on Thursday and a big chunk of it on Friday. So that's what we're going to do.
Wonderful.
And we'll come here and talk about that tomorrow. Tom Brousseau, how about, do you want to have a seat? We're in a churchyard. Have a seat under the tree that is making my throat, maybe killing me. And hopefully you won't choke up.
This will be a good way to go.
So, Tom Brousseau, what do you want to sing for
us? Well, I thought maybe I'd do, I'll do an older song that I've not recorded. It's a song called Will Henry. It's a murder ballad of sorts.
Excellent.
Yeah. They just tangled Will Henry with the rope his mama made. She isn't from around here. She addressed it to the state. She said, I never thought I'd have such an evil thing. Must have been from his daddy's side. They had those kind of traits. On the day that he was born, she went on to say, I looked at him and he looked at me, and I knew it was too late. He had the eyes of a billy goat, and he'd use them in a way. If you even looked at him, you hang your head in shame. Caught him at his home, sitting in a chair, feet upon the table, combing out his hair. He didn't lift a finger, no, all he did was stare. And everybody bowed their heads in the utmost despair. Imagine an old tire swing in the strongest gale. That's kinda how Will Henry looked, blowing in the wind. And the takers cut down the noose, both of them afraid. They said, let us spare no time at all, get this one in his grave. Every now and then, somebody would say, he forgot to mock the devil, so he never went away. Sure, they killed Will Henry, you know you saw him hang. But there ain't a doubt in my mind that he'll be back again.
Ballad to put us to sleep. That's beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.